sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 167, let him kick you once. Take three. You let a motherfucker kick you five times, they gonna kick you five times. You let him kick you three times, they gonna kick you three times. You let him kick you twice, they gonna kick you twice. You let him kick you once.
Message!
They're going to kick you once. But if you break off the motherfucking feet, ain't going to be no more kicking. Ain't going to be no more kicking going on, kid. Ain't no more kicking. I learned that shit growing up in Newark, man. The Brick City. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue. Another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. That's what's up. All right, before I start the show, I need to let you new listeners know that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. In other words, it's protected by the red, the black, and the green in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 28, 2024. Damn, man, is just around the corner. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Wow, such harsh language for a podcast. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. You know, I really like that new thing. It's a safe space for my thoughts. Beautiful. Yeah, I think I'm gonna give myself a little.
Are you an outcast?
No, I'm going to give myself a little, you know what? Where did I put it? A little, a little. Yay! Progress. Or incremental progress. All right, you can't tell, but I just feel like, because I like giving out details. I'm using this, I was inspired by another podcast, and I'm using, for my sound clip, I'm using this program called SoundPad, and I noticed there's a hotkey feature. So I'm using the hotkey feature, so that's why I accidentally hit, I'm still, only problem with this thing is this hotkey feature is I have to memorize these numbers, and I just did it before the episode. So there's a chance I might, growing pain, I might hit the wrong, you might hear the wrong sound effect. Because I'm still memorizing where everything is. Like,
shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Yeah, no, that's not for myself. But I remember putting 04 if I'm reading something, sharing something that I really disapprove of, 0 is for.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
There we go. Yeah. If I'm telling you to shut your mouth, Kane, bitch, I'm really asking you to shut the fuck up. Sorry, I'm thinking of a content creator that I discovered on TikTok, and her whole stick is is shall say something, and you know when someone says something that's inaccurate, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I forget her name, but it just, she made me chuckle. All right. Let me get situated. Hey, okay, welcome, new listeners. Just to help you get familiar with my podcast on how I do these shows. I like to break down my episodes into three parts. I prefer to use the term acts. The first act is the intro. The second act is use a random thought. And the last act is final thought. Now, if you are following me from the last episode, this is going to be a standard episode, right? In the last one, I just started talking about my last trip to Atlanta and my time after, and also attending, while I was in Atlanta, I attended the Spoken Word Apex, and I talk about that. I give a summary about that in there. Anyway, but my point is, so here, the last episode was not a standard episode, but this one broken down into three parts. Now, in the intro, so far in the intro, I've played, you've heard the theme, told you the title of the episode. I greeted you, gave you some parental advisory. Like a warning on the kind of podcast you're listening to. It's a safe space for my thought. It's just to, I'm still defining what this podcast is. And right now, the latest headline is going to be a safe space for my thought. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some dates. Things that have happened this week that need to be acknowledged. Dates that need to be acknowledged. For instance, did you know on April 25th, 1995, Mobb Deep released their the infamous album? Yeah, I still remember bumping that album, and yeah, that must have been after Snoop Dogg. Because I remember back in those days, everyone was introducing their hoods. And I believed in it. I'm like, damn, this shit sounds scary. I remember, like, you know, when Snoop Dogg came out with, was it Doggy Style? And it was a lot of West Coast rappers releasing albums. And I remember they had me convinced. It was like, shit, I don't want to be anywhere on the West Coast. This sounds dangerous. And then Mobb Deep came out with Infamous. And they were like, I mean, Nas gave one impression of Queens. MC Shan gave one impression. But Mobb Deep gave an impression of Queens. It's like, yeah, fuck that. I am not. If I'm anywhere in New York that involves going through Queens, fuck that. These people are dangerous. Like, the album painted a pretty picture, like an amazing picture of, yeah, Queens Bridge don't play. But that's how it was in the 90s. Like, convincing. If you wanted to be a hit, you had to convince us that you were harder, more dangerous than the rapper before you. I don't know. I guess I should say, but the question is, what was your impression when you heard Mobb Deep, The Infamous for the first time? For me, it was like, wow, Queensbridge niggas don't play. And another date worth I should acknowledge is April 26, 1994, Outkast released Southern Playlistic Cadillac Music. The album. Damn, that was a long-ass title. I gotta tell you, man, A for originality. That album was original. It took me a while to get into it, but my brother and his friends, they were into it more than I was. I remember I had to borrow my brother's CDs to listen to it, but it took me a while before. I didn't think they were bad. I'm just saying, again, it was original. It was, like, outside. See, this is what you kids ain't getting. Back in those days, it's being an original rapper, I can't speak. I don't listen to current hip hop, but I do know in hip hop there's this trend of someone comes with an original shit, then everyone keeps biting it, and then hip hop gets stale, and until someone else comes out with something original. Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music was an original album. Just the title alone, I'm like, what the fuck is with these niggas and all these syllables? But yeah, man. But anyways, great. Infamous, Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, two dope albums, man. We were blessed in the 90s when it came to hip-hop. At least that's my opinion. All right. Fine. Now, this concludes the intro. Now we can jump to news and random thoughts. And before I do that, I'm gonna separate to bridge to let you know we're on a new act. We're in a new act. You're gonna hear this. Nope, not that one. You're gonna hear this. Like I said, I'm not editing. I'm not gonna correct any of these things, right? But yes, that sound was to separate the two acts, and this sound is for me to just go, just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just get into it. All right, let me look at the time. All right, okay, cool. First item. Okay, so speaking of hip hop. I tell you what, let me just play the clip, and it's about this rapper from Iran. His name is Tumaj Salehi, and he's sentenced to death. Basically, this is a tale about hip-hop and courage. Here we go.
His voice embodied the hopes and dreams of young Iranians, and his commitment to freedom of speech made him a thorn in the side of the regime. Iranian rapper Tumaj Salehi was sentenced to death on Wednesday by a revolutionary court on charges of corrupting the moral order. The 33-year-old artist was arrested in October 2022 after publicly backing a wave of protests sparked by the death of Mahsa Amini. His arrest triggered a wave of support from artists around the world, including Iranian writer and director Marjan Satrapi.
He's the only Iranian rapper who speaks about the working class and the underprivileged. His lyrics are political and he wields the Persian language like no one else. He's a poet. He's extremely popular in Iran. He's become a symbol for his generation and for the country.
A symbol which the Iranian regime could no longer tolerate. In this clip, Tumaj sits across a man dressed in black, supposed to represent the mullahs and the Revolutionary Guard. His sentencing comes amid a renewed crackdown on civil liberties in Iran, especially against women refusing to wear the hijab. Tumaj Salehi's lawyer said he would appeal the decision, which contradicts a previous Supreme Court ruling that spared him the death penalty.
This is disappointing. On one end, I'm inspired. It's been a while since I've been inspired, but like hearing this dude's story just had me thinking on how disappointed I am in hip hop. But then again, disappointed in hip hop, kind of like. But then again, I'm wondering if I'm just a child who's disappointed at the fact that there is no Santa Claus. Like rappers were never superheroes. Maybe the rap music that I'm used to, the mainstream rap stuff that I'm used to, these rappers have always been about their career, even when they were on that conscious shit. But this dude is also an activist, and his activism is leading him to his death. I mean, it doesn't get more real than that, you know what I mean? I guess it's more legendary than... That's what made Tupac so... Because he lived what he said. I don't know. You know what? I was going to make a big thing about... I'm disappointed in the Iranian government, but I don't think they set themselves out to impress people like me. I mean, the whole idea that, you know, people are like, this could have been their opportunity. I don't know enough about politics to say something intelligent. But this is me being a dreamer and wishing that, hey, Iran would pause their war against women to help the people in Palestine. But, you know, the world's more complicated than that. Let me just try to stick to the positive here. It's just, if I'm sharing this story, is because I feel the name Tumaj Salehi. Wait, did I pronounce that right? Hold on a second. Don't do that. His name just needed to be remembered. That's pretty much it, where I'm going with this. Now, as I'm done talking shit about Yeah, you know what? I'm going to skip this next one. No, okay. I'm going to play it. I'm just going to play it. This is filed under... I'm not saying Hitler is a good guy. And I know I'm not trying to be controversial, but it's just... This is an interesting take about Nazi Germany and the way... And black people. Here we go. Here, let me just try and play this. Oh, it muted itself. Okay, here we go.
According to mainstream media and historians, Adolf Hitler was an extremely bitter and bigoted racist who encouraged hatred of non-whites in the Third Reich. But what did black people who actually visited Nazi Germany have to say about how they were treated? Regarding the Berlin Olympics in 1936, the celebrated African-American athlete Jesse Owens remarked in his autobiography that he received the most enthusiastic applause of his career from the German crowd, and that Hitler himself waved to him warmly. Hitler did not snub me. It was Roosevelt who snubbed me. The president didn't even send me a telegram. Owens also noted that during his time in Berlin, the German people frequently stopped him on the street just to congratulate him on his success. Believe it or not, the civil rights leader W.E.B. Du Bois, having also visited Germany in the 1930s, commented that the National Socialists do not show any trace of racial hatred toward blacks. According to mainstream media...
Yeah, okay, why am I sharing this, man? No, not at all. I am not trying to change the legacy of Hitler. At all, that's not my intention. But with that said, I do lately find myself reevaluating shit that I've been taught about history. I mean, I don't deny the fact that Hitler was not a great contributor to humanity. He was on the list of shitty people. But I do find myself wondering, is he any different than anyone whose attempt to be in a position of power? Like, I'm wondering, I think growing up, the idea of World War II, World War I and II was presented as good versus evil. And I'm realizing that it was just two assholes who just wanted the throne. I have had that thought of had Germany won the war. I mean, sure, it would have been the genocide of. Okay, I don't mean to say that lightly. It would have been. I imagine it would have been the genocide of Jewish people. But would Jewish people be? Would essentially taking the place of indigenous people. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this is my people die every day. Like in this planet that we live in, I don't think it's possible to make it to where to be a superpower and not have any acts of genocide of human rights violation. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's a reflection on the world that we live in. Again, I am not sharing this clip to be like, "Oh, Hitler liked the blacks," but I'm saying, I am saying. Would it have been business as usual, I guess, had he been in charge? Would he have done a worse job running this planet than this current, I mean, sure, I would not be born for sure, right? But I do think about, right? Like when the people of power play their games, is it just a case of one tyrant replacing another tyrant? You know what I mean? Because the United States, one thing they've proven to us is, like, the military run that country. I just got to watch my mouth. I think, what's the clever thought that I am trying to say? It's just more, because I was born into, I guess, the Western country, that's what it's called, part of the Western countries, their enemies became my enemies. At least that's what we were taught in school. Like, we were taught about the Holocaust and how Hitler had a, you know, and Hitler was like this evil man. But we never talked about, what's that asshole from Belgium who killed all those Belgians? Basically, you know, none of my heroes don't appear in old stamp, but, you know, who committed atrocities on the Congo. Hitler was a shitty person. So was Netanyahu. You know what I mean? This is what I'm trying to get at. I'm saying, if there is it possible to be a person of power and, ah, man, okay, I know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of that a quote by Varys, which I'm going to fuck up. Varys from Game of Thrones, and he says, when the people of power play their Game of Thrones, it's the small folks that suffer for it. Yeah, there are no good guys. That's what I'm trying to say. There are no good guys. Really what I'm trying to get at. If America, if the Axis, no, not the Axis, the Allies won the war, it wasn't because they were righteous. It wasn't because God was on their side. They just had all the guns. It wasn't a game of right or wrong. It was just, hey, fuck that. You want the crown? It was just a quest for the crown. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, anyways, that thing had me thinking. All right. Okay, maybe I should have written that one. You know what? Fuck it. I said what I needed to say. All right, next item on the agenda. Okay, I'm going to play this one. I'm not going to share any thoughts, but I feel like this is probably the greatest thought someone has ever shared that made me consider, okay, all right, you know what? These vegans have a point. Oh, wow, they locked the comment. Locked post? New comments cannot be posted. Oh, is it that bad? What the fuck? Anyways, I'm just going to play this, and it's labeled under a civil debate on vegan versus not. Okay, I'm not a vegan, but this dude absolutely ate in this argument. Here we go, and... It's loading. Oh, come on, man.
First.
But animals are eating animals, you know?
Some animals. Almost 75% of animals on this planet are herbivores.
But it's part of our circle of life.
No, it's the circle of
it's
torture
like
and death.
When you see a lion eating a zebra, it's and you're.
But I notice you have clothes on. And I notice that you have a cell phone and you have a computer. It is unfair to pick one thing that lions do that you want to mimic when you don't want to mimic anything else they do. When lions walk up and greet each other, they sniff each other's ass. When I came in this room, you did not kneel down and sniff my ass. Okay? Lions sometimes kill their young when they're runts. Okay? If a human being killed their baby because they didn't want him, we arrest them and charge them with murder. Could you go to a courtroom and say, hey, but Your Honor, lions kill their babies, can't I? It's an unfair comparison. You're not a lion. And just so you know, lions are carnivores. Humans are not. We are herbivores, 100% up and down. You put a 2-year-old child in a crib with a bunny rabbit and an apple, let me know when the child eats the bunny rabbit and plays with the apple. Mm. We are purely herbivorous. We have no carnivorous or omnivorous instincts whatsoever. And physiologically, if your jaw moves from side to side in a grinding motion and you chew, you're 100% herbivore. If you were a meat eater like a lion, your jaw would only go like this, up and down, rip and swallow. If you sweat through your pores to cool yourself, you're herbivore.
What?
Again, I'm not trying to convert anyone into veganism, but when someone makes a point, I'm just giving credit where credit is due. Someone I knew had me reflecting on the idea of being a vegan. Some people eat for health reasons. I just think about this concept of is the purpose of humanity to evolve. Like, sure, the animal world is cruel. Sometimes used to look at the animals and wonder, oh fuck, are we soft? Are we the ones like this whole wanting to show empathy is are we going against nature? Or maybe humanity is supposed to be the best that Earth has to offer. Look. All I'm saying is it's going to suck if there's an alien race out there that can kick our ass and that's smarter than us and considers us food. You know what I mean? We're going to wish they were vegans. That's all I'm saying. Like, we've took it upon ourselves to kill animals and feed ourselves with them. And don't get me wrong. I love a fucking steak. Do not get me wrong. I am not preaching, but I am reflecting on this idea of this decision we made that, hey, this life is less than, this life is less worthy, deserves less dignity than mine. And like, we don't eat other people, except maybe the rich. We don't eat the rich, but the rich eat us. But I'm saying, it's something worth reflecting. Maybe this is the kind of us that people with empathy, in my demographic of human beings think about. Because I know a lot of you are like, man, fuck that, man. Fuck this shit. I'm going to McDonald's right now. I'm being a dreamer. Yeah. Yeah, put it this way. I guess if everyone became vegan, I would not oppose it. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Oh, wait. I would just ask for 24 hours to... No, that's not true. I guess I would. I am considering veganism. I mean, a small part of me is considering it. But whatever. All right, let's... what else we got here? You know, I like videos that... Shout out to Reddit. Their videos don't automatically play as soon as you open it up in the tab. In your tab. Okay, let me close this. Just trying to clean things up. Might be some paperwork here. All right, okay. I'm not going to play this clip, but I will read you the title. I tried playing it. It goes, hold on. Did someone diss me? Oh, wait. Hold on. Okay. Well, hope you start to see some sense when they way to completely miss the point. Okay. All right. Sorry. I got distracted. I was looking at the comment section because I'm funny like that. All right. So Bill Maher. What's the title? What did the title I put? Bill Maher preaching about being likable. All right. So Bill Maher has on his show, I guess it must have been a recent show. He's got this segment called New Rule. And I don't know. It's just an opportunity for him to bring up things in the news, share his thoughts about it. Anyways, he had a part where, like, I feel like this shit was less comedy and more politics, more political, just making a statement. It's like Hitler talking about, yeah, the Germans are gonna be whatever. It's more a statement than it was comedy. But I guess, or maybe to his audience, it's considered comedy. But in his New Rule segment, he talked about the people who protest, pro-Palestine protesters who've been doing shit like blocking traffic. And there's a part where he talks about, where he says, if you want people to like you, says something like that, I'm paraphrasing. If you want to be you like you. And I said, and it just hit me. I'm like, really, Bill? You, out of all fucking people, are going to bitch about being likable. Really? And I say this, like, straight off the bat, that I dislike Bill Maher. I was going to say hate, but nah. Dislike. Part of it has to do with the fact that, bear with me here as I talk about my feelings about Bill Maher, right? A lot of it has to do with the fact that I used to be a fan of the dude, and I realized the reason I was a fan of the dude is because he didn't like the same people I didn't like, and all his jokes were to dirt gentrymen. So yeah, I was like, blah, blah, you know, fan of his. Then he went in a certain direction, and it's as if yo, get on the ride or get the fuck off. and here's my point. This is the point I'm saying is, I don't like Bill Maher, but I feel like the fact that he doesn't give a fuck about the fact that I don't like him is part of what makes him successful. That's how I've been looking at it. Bill Maher's my, like, when that debate, not debate, when that saying of, I mean, not agree with what you have to say, but I'll fight for your right to say what you have to say. So I'm going to pretend, right, that he's a comedian. I'm gonna leave him. No, sorry. I'm going to respect him as a comedian, or even more, respect him as someone with a microphone, with a platform. He's got thoughts, and he's got an audience, right? And I respect that about him. That's his thing. And he's successful at it. He's been in the business for a while. Like, I'm acknowledging all this shit, right? And Yeah, the fact that I'm no longer in his demographic, or I'm not the people he's trying to keep, he's trying to have as fans, or he expects to show up. But like I'm in the category of people. It's like, yes, keep bitching about me, you liberal cuck. It just fans my. I'm respecting the fact that. What am I trying to say about Bill Maher? Okay. I'm respecting the fact that I am outside his bubble, his circle. I don't like him. And sometimes I think that hatred is help me tweeting about how I don't like Bill Maher, talking about him, talking shit about him. His fans love that shit. It's like, oh yeah. You just pissed him off. Sorry, this is me mimicking his fans jerking off to me being like, fuck Bill Maher. Oh, yeah, all right, man. Make that nigger angry. I guess the part that I can learn from him, the part that I am willing to learn from him, is not giving a fuck about what people think about you. That's his thing. It's been working out for him, I'm sure. But I'm wondering, does he say shit to be liked by his audience, or is he just a dude sharing his truth, even when it's at his detriment? Do you know what I mean? Like, is he? That's the part I still haven't figured out. Like, I don't know him enough to know. Is he like, look, market? We've done all this market research. We plugged this shit into AI. They figured out your target audience. This particular target audience They like this shit. They like you wearing that. They want you to complain about this, that, whatever. And, or is he, look, I'm just speaking my truth, and speaking my truth is allowing me to have an audience. Because essentially that's what I'm trying to do with this podcast. I'm just a dude trying to speak his truth and hoping people connect with it. Now, the difference is, the difference is I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but that's not true. Because if you're Whitey, yeah, fuck that. I hope Whitey is like, fuck that nigger. Except problem is, it's a little dangerous when Whitey gets mad at you. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you know, Whitey's got power. Whitey's mad at you, you lose your job. You know what I mean? It can get dangerous having Whitey against you. But speaking my truth. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm trying to acknowledge. I'm trying to acknowledge the fact that, who the fuck you kidding? You want his success. While being, I fucking hate that guy. Like, I wish I could be indifferent about him, but the shit that he says just, And even worse, his fan base. One of my colleagues admitted that they were a fan of his, and I just kept that shit to myself. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like you and I are not going to be friends. I'm going to just remind myself that you and I are just coworkers. Yeah. Oh, okay, last point is, another thought that I had is because this clip that I found was under the comedy subreddit. Let me just confirm. Was it? Hold on. Is this mouse not working? Okay. Was under the comedy subreddit, and I'm listening to this, and I fuck that shit was not funny. But the thing is, he's still on HBO. Shit's not canceled. So someone out there is finding this shit funny, like my coworker. Someone out there is finding that shit funny. Not just funny, but yes, stick it to them. Stick it to those nigger lovers. It had me thinking about, people have been bitching about, yo, comedy's dead, comedy's dying and all that shit. I'm a different opinion. I'm like, is it possible that comedy evolved to a point where you gotta be more specific about who this comedy is for? Like, there was a time where you could say comedy and we all laugh, but now it's different audience, different strokes for different folks. Like, maybe the word comedy just needs to be more specific. Like, comedy for white folks. I'm exaggerating, but I'm like, but because Bill Maher is in this particular lane of people who would find his shit funny. That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, just me. Like, yeah, my attempt is to be into comedy. Yeah, I guess it's like I'm trying to say comedy is not universal. Okay, my opinion is like comedy needs to be redefined the same way history needs to be redefined. There was on Reddit, someone asked the question, what was the biggest blunder in history? And I meant to write, but, you know, and I'm like, whose history are we talking about? For example, I would say the indigenous people of the Caribbean, of Haiti, the island of Haiti, Jamaica, because that's what it was called by the indigenous, their biggest blunder was accepting white people as human beings. Believing that, hey, these white folks are cool. I'd say that would be their biggest blunder. That would be a blunder in history. But from the perspective of the European, nah, man, having them embrace them, their fuck up was their, sorry, I'm not trying to disrespect the indigenous, but I'm saying the concept of history, when you ask that question, just like comedy, maybe it's one of those two things that need to be more specific. When you talk about history, you got to say, whose history? When you talk about comedy, comedy for who? It's just a thought. I guess I hate this idea of comedy is dead. I mean, no, your version of comedy is dead. Or the fact that, yeah, your favorite comedian came out with a special that the rest of us did not like. Instead of focusing, I think some people enjoy when it comes to comedy. I think some people take pleasure in the fact that it's not enough for their favorite comedian to make them laugh. No, it's not enough. It's not enough for them for their comedian to make a great, excellent joke. No, it's got to be at the detriment of other people. Like, some people take pleasure off other people's pain. And especially, and even if when it involves comedy. It's, anyways, my little personal observation. If you agree with me, holler at me at the end of the show. All right, okay. All right, okay. Last point. Last one I got, and I was worried. Yeah, last point. Okay, so this week I discovered a podcast or a YouTube channel called Le Temps d'un Jujube, episode 143. It's a French show, episode 143. And the reason why this YouTube channel, is that what I want to call it, got on my radar is because it interviewed two of my favorite people in the province of Quebec, or two people I knew, right? First one is Renzo Dashington, Bad Boy du Rire, that's within bracket, and Barnev, singer, entertainer, Barnev Valsin, right? And they were on, and it's amazing how interviewing the right people is enough to get your like, this is a show would have never gotten on my radar for the fact that they interviewed these two people. All right, now it was a great interview. Granted, it was a 2-hour, 15-minute interview, and granted, I had to take a break off the first hour because there was a portion where Renzo was explaining racism to these crackers, to these white boys. I mean, I messaged them about them. Apparently, they're friends, so I'm watching my language. But listening to him trying to explain racism to these devils just reminded me of how much Quebec is so... People in Quebec, when it comes to race, it's like... how much, when I hear that Quebec accent... Oh, fuck it. When I hear the French language, the last thing I'm expecting is to hear anything enlightening about race. Them motherfuckers are still figuring out, hey, what do you mean I can't say nigger? Push buttons on neck. Support nigger, see neck. She did some neck, or whatever. Yeah, I'm not, it's, I've lowered my expectation when it comes to French white people and the concept of race. Oh, shit, sorry. I was hearing noise and realized it's the wind. All right, yeah. So, Right. So I took a break and then re-listened to it. And towards the end, I liked it. And it made me realize listening to, so it was two interviewers, you know, they kind of had like the two interviewers, the host of the podcast of the show, they kind of they had like a little flair of, what were their names again? The Bodega Boys. Not as funny, but I mean, there's something They didn't have the same dynamic. You know what? No, okay. The only reason why I'm comparing it to the Bodega Boys is only because they were a duo and they made a few hip hop references and their usage of sound effects. But not a well organized podcast. I enjoyed listening to it. I guess my biggest takeaway from listening to the interview as a whole was listening to them made me realize how little I know about pop culture in Quebec. Yo, these dudes kept popping names that I had to Google. You'd think, right? Un gars qui parle français comme moi would be familiar with. Nah, man. There was like, it reminded me of, no, okay, those guys are Quebecois. I'm a Franco-Ontarian. Two different worlds. There's a lot I need to learn. I think that's my biggest takeaway from that interview that I enjoyed is the realization of how little I know about that world. Two, and I think this is the biggest blessing, yo, that was watching these four together, especially Barnev and Renzo Dashington on the same show together, sparked that inspiration that I needed to get back into comedy. Now, I'm not saying that feeling to do comedy is there, but it was like, yeah, man, shit or get off the fucking pot popped up. Like I'm taking this shit seriously. Like after this episode, sometime this week, I'm gonna start working on my set, 6 minute set, 10 minute set. Ooh, I'm getting excited. Yeah, I guess seeing those two together, I feel like it's my two worlds came together. Seeing those two at the same time. Yeah. Oh, and one last takeaway. Now I was talking about how I was frustrated. Watching Renzo try to explain racism to these white folks, and it had me thinking that, shit, even I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to explain. See, okay, here's the thing. One thing I cannot do, or it's going to be a while before I can do, is talk about racism intelligently in French. And add on camera, it's going to be a while before I could do that. My problem is I get way too emotional when we talk about race, especially when I'm talking with someone who doesn't get it or doesn't give me the hint, the feeling that they're trying to get it, like they're holding on to their own belief. Yeah, but why are we gonna make it about race? Oh, tabarnak, esti. Hang them. So, brother, yeah, Renzo, I commend that he was very articulate and he held his own. He was very patient. He handled that situation. I don't think he could have been handled any better. Because he was patient with these guys. Like, they had their own thoughts about racism that they couldn't let go. And they had whatever. What I'm saying is, I find myself, I'm realizing that I really, when I think of racism, I could picture it. But articulate, okay. I guess part of it is I've given up trying to explain racism to white people. You either fucking get it or you don't, right? Like, I'm not going to take the time to explain trigonometry, calculus, advanced calculus to someone who still doesn't know how to count. You know what I mean? It's, fuck that. You're going to have to do your own work, your own homework. But when I think about it, usually, like, I'm from the school of, I'm sick of teaching white people, talking to white people about race. But I am realizing at the core, what do I talk about? Okay, long story short, I found myself Googling how to explain racism. And there's this one is how someone broke down racism into four categories. It's like you got interpersonal. I'm going to be surprised if I remember. Interpersonal, institutionalized, or systemic. And I forgot the other two. But my thing is, the racism that the white people on that podcast were talking about is interpersonal racism. They think it's racism is just, oh, you don't want to sit next to a black person or you don't want to like black people or something like that. No, I couldn't give a fuck about a white person not liking me. What I do give a fuck is a white person with backwards, racist views about black people and is able to hire me, is in a position to hire me, or is a cop with a gun, or is a judge, You know what I mean? In position of power. That's the institutionalized racism. That's what my war is against. Like, I'd be cool if racism was like just another religion. Just a view. If it was just a view, a bunch of white people were in a church and they had their racist view, I'd be cool with that. As long as those assholes aren't allowed to be politicians. Yeah, so if I were to explain racism, I guess I would go back to, to a white person asking for hints about understanding racism, I would focus on why racism was invented in the first place. Focus on that, the history of racism, how it came about, why it was created. Basically to the point of, to you realize that, oh, I benefit from racism. Kind of like I benefit from patriarchy, from sexism. Like I think about, I was going to make a joke about it, about how I benefited from the fact that a lot of my trophies come from the fact that my opponents couldn't show up to the game. Like, I studied in computers. I went into, getting into the school was somewhat competitive, was a challenge. And I imagine that I benefited from the fact that a lot of women who are probably smarter than me were convinced that, no, just get yourself a husband. Just focus on being pretty. Don't go into computers. I benefited from that the fact that the people I had to compete against was less. It wasn't that great. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying the system of oppression that's put in place, this is me trying to speak intelligently about sexism and patriarchy. Like, do not deny the fact that you benefit from that shit as a man. Same goes for racism. Yeah. Okay, boys and girls, and that's it. That's it for using random thoughts. I'm going to suggest that before I get the final thought, I'm going to tell you to, if you go to the show notes, the links are in the show notes for everything that's been discussed, but there's also an extra section called Other Links. And these are things that I've likely read that influenced some of the things that I've said on during the segment, and also just shit that worth checking out. Just links worth checking out for your own entertainment or edification. All right, okay. Now let's jump to final thoughts, and let me remind myself where I put that sound clip for final thoughts. All right, okay. So here we go. Hey, I got it right. Okay. All right. Okay. So let's do this. Alright, okay. What's up with today's title? Kick You Once. Alright, now if you can't tell, I got it from today's title was, well, partly inspired. Well, I got it from the title and that verse that I recited early at the beginning of the episode of the show came from the Fugees album, The Score. And it's like the interlude at the end of the track, Manifest. By the way, Manifest, in my opinion, has the dopest verse that Lauryn Hill has ever written and recited. But that's another conversation. That's a conversation for less. But at the end of Manifest, there's it sounds like Wyclef. I think it's Wyclef. He's just saying a whole bunch of things, and the one thing that had me thinking was. That saying is, you let a motherfucker kick you five times, they're gonna kick you five times. You let a couple. It makes me think of, it's related to another poem of, or an idea of, that goes, people will take you for whatever you allow them to take you for. This is an idea that it took me a while to understand. And I'm saying all this, the title, this verse, is all focused on the idea of sacrificing your boundaries. We're getting deep. All right. And I'm going to play the actual clip that inspired today's final thoughts. And here it goes. Goes like this.
I wish someone would have told me that sacrificing my boundaries in the name of empathy wasn't noble. I wish they would have warned me that all it would do is make me a safe house for other people's demons. I think empathy has to be taught in two parts. how to put yourself in someone's shoes and see the hurt they were given that made them hurt you, and how to understand that you still don't deserve what they're doing. Their scars are no excuse for the wounds they give to you. Their inability to heal is not something you can fix if you stay and continue to let them treat you in all these unacceptable ways. If you give them excuses and save places for their darkness, instead of demanding they do better, the only thing you are teaching them is that you'll put up with it. We want to live in a world where hurt people don't hurt people, but the reality is that starts with you standing up for yourself and not accepting disrespect. You chose to heal. You chose to take the darkness the world gave you and still be a light. You chose kindness despite the pain you received. They can too.
All right, beautiful. Powerful, huh? Powerful. But let me just read her capture. She said, if you do anything today, listen to this, listen to and learn. I had to learn. Okay, here's where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go long here as I try to find my thought. I like when I'm trying to figure out a topic for the podcast and I go blank and I have nothing to talk about. And usually what it means is, usually what it means is there's something I want to talk about, but you're not comfortable sharing it with the public. So where I'm going to go with this is, so I'm in a situation and I'm very familiar with this. So something, and there was an incident that happened at work. I say incident, but it's not big. It's like, it's an incident to me, but to everyone else, it's just nothing. Person, colleague about work, who's going through some hard times at home, he's having issues at home, has been having difficulty keeping it together. Now, because this is a man, it's not like keeping it together, you know, when men get hurt, I mean, okay, not to say that this just doesn't apply to us, but when men go through hard times, they don't break down and cry, they look for other people to be their punching bag. And this asshole has been doing that constantly and been doing that. Oh, sorry, you know, sorry, I'm having a bad day, blah, blah, blah. Constantly sorry, no change behavior. And it happened to me where homie just did something, but I found disrespect. Basically snapped. And it was kind of embarrassing that he did that. And I remember being in the moment, like thinking about, yo, fuck it, come on, man. Years of therapy and you gonna let that shit slide? Like I finally found that voice inside me to be like, hey, that shit was not cool. And I was mad at myself that I silenced him. In that moment, I started to overthink because that's how I control myself. I stopped myself. Even though I was justified. No, you know what I did? Actually, no. I was tame. Like, see, that's the thing about it being a highly sensitive person is you learn that. It's like, what's that saying by Big Eagles? Don't take nothing but front from me to start bucking. So I can, if someone disses me or does something that I feel is offensive, that, you know, my first instinct is to go Dracarys. So I've learned to, calm the fuck down. Easy, chill, breathe, then react. So what I'm saying is, I'm telling myself, I want to believe that part of the reason why I didn't let, even though this was the second offense on his part, second time he's done this shit, basically raised his voice, speaking to me in a disrespectful manner, didn't acknowledge. It's that idea that I communicated to him that, yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean? I know you're hurt. You can take that hurt towards me. And when I talk about no longer wanting to be the old version of Be Black, the old version of me, that's what I'm talking about. I grew up in a family where, in the idea of, with the belief that, like she was saying, part of showing someone you love them is allowing them to step over your boundaries. It's just not having, the less boundaries you have, the more you love that person. And it took me, out of hell to realize, no, that was bullshit. Nah, fuck that. You're not doing them a favor. If you're with someone who doesn't like your boundaries, you're with someone who you should not be around with. Part of love, part of that mutual part about love is, like, I thought I was being a God-sent person. I was being Jesus dying on the cross, by letting people walk over my boundaries. And I'm realizing that, no, it's bullshit. You played yourself. And it's made me angry. So part of that anger jumped in with, okay, so you let this white boy diss you like that? It's been fucking with me, man. It's been fucking with me. Like, this happened during the week. My therapist gave me an exercise to do to calm myself down. And for some reason, I've got myself not to do it. I think it's because I want to remind myself that, yo, this asshole's on strike three. He does that again? Fuck that. Unleash hell on that motherfucker. I don't mean, like, fight the dude, but let him know it's not cool. I think about it. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to take my time with this thought. I think about how I grew up with a lot of black people, with black folks who grew up tough. And one part of that toughness was that idea of, yo, of someone disses you, you let them know it's not okay. You got to be willing to fight. Not just tough, but willing. They were fighters. And they, like, I've heard stories about, some of them had stories about how some kid hurt them, and then they go up home, and they go home and they cry, hey, this person hit me. And it's like, and the parent says, here's a bat, go handle that situation. You know what I mean? It's extreme. I mean, people consider it extreme, but they didn't get fucked with afterwards. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, I grew up with this notion of, shit, sometimes I feel like Bishop from Juice. I needed to be respected. There's a long line of history where I'm an empath. And I've been basically showed empathy to shitty people because I used to think it was my responsibility. God put me on earth to love them, to show them God's love, even though they're not reciprocating that love. I have a lot of family members that I don't speak to because they expect me, I feel like our relationship is built on the idea that we will continue to get along as long as you continue to sacrifice your boundaries. And because I'm like, nah, fuck that. I don't want to do that again. I'm trying to talk about my feelings here. I'm trying to say how, yeah, part of why I believe it's fucking with me is because I have family members that I do not accept them. tolerated a violation of my boundaries, and I allowed this complete stranger to do this. Now, I can't say that I did have a talk to, I did do something that I don't usually do, is I, and this is how emotional it was that I ended up talking to my manager about it. And a part of it is because him and I, like, we have, like, we're kind of cool with that kind of shit. And, it wasn't me trying to snitch. It was more like me saying, yeah, he hurt my feet. No, it was more like, no, I was just being honest. I was like feeling fucked up. And I just felt like, I think he got the message. I hope he got the message that, yo, if you don't handle this situation, I can't promise you I will be civil next time this dude decides to. Like, there's some people who, it breaks my heart that some people take advantage of other people's kindness. I think that's another reason why I'm angry at this person, is because the act that he did is something I would have never done to someone else, right? And I expect, yeah, I guess one of my greatest pet peeves are people who expect empathy, expect compassion, expect all that shit, expect kindness, but they have no intention of returning that favor. It kills me that people are like that. But ain't shit you can do about it. Yeah, sacrificing boundaries. Sacrificing my boundaries. I'm like, sorry, I was about to say, there's a thought that's kind of complicated, so I'm just going to give you the Cole's Note version of it is, when Jewish people after the Holocaust, They made themselves a promise of never again. We ain't never gonna be someone's bitch. And I admire that. I respect that they did that. What bothers me is how they've taken out that same anger. We ain't gonna be no one's bitch. Whether it's Germany or these Palestinians. Or people that are we can fucking annihilate. I guess I'm saying on one end, I respect the fact that they're like never again, which they should do. I think every oppressed people, it like respect that, admires that about Jewish people. But the whole, yeah, man, we fucking with anyone. We dropping anyone that we can just because we can. We're going to be no better than our oppressors. That's where, like, what the fuck? Okay, my point is, maybe I should give myself a little credit that part of the reason I held back and didn't go full Jacaris on the dude was because I was trying to be civil. I was trying to be like, I'm reminding myself, yeah, he's hurt, but he doesn't get it. But it doesn't give him a reason to talk to me like that. I guess I was worried that I know myself that if unchecked, I could have made a big scene. Like I could have been like Bishop and Juice. And go beyond, like, there's one thing to correct a person, to assert yourself, but there's another to be overly aggressive. I'm thinking of a last point. I'm thinking of this woman I used to know, and she had a reputation of just being rough, especially with men. Women admired it. It's like, yeah, man, you scare men, whatever. Something like that, right? And I remember when, I saw her in a club. And, I saw her in a club and I was trying to get her attention. And being I didn't know any better, I grabbed her by her hand in a club, right? And she snapped. She's like, well, don't ever do that again. Whatever. And, like, it was very aggressive response. And I remember being like, like a dog, like, like, on one end, I got the picture not to do that. I didn't know that was a bad thing to do. Like, I got the picture, but on the other end, now I'm scared of this girl. Not only am I scared of this girl, but every time people are talking bad about her, when guys are talking shit about her, I'm like, yeah, fuck that bitch. But can't, is that her? You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm saying balance. Like, I think what I'm looking for is balance. She did what she did. I can't change that. But I'm saying, overdoing it. I don't really have a point. I mean, I do. I'm just trying to figure out what my point is, except for no more sacrificing boundaries. There is no, I like what the content creator said, like, there's nothing noble about sacrificing your boundaries. I refuse to do that again. I guess what I am trying to figure out is, how do I go about, you know what, this whole putting up boundaries is new to me. I'm still learning how to go about it. A part of me doesn't want to be too mean about it, doesn't want to be too aggressive about it, but a part of me doesn't want to, you know what, fuck them, man. Like, if someone doesn't know, sure. Someone doesn't know, it's okay. Like, there are reasonable people out there. But for the unreasonable people, yeah, I think they deserve the whole Dracarys treatment. Yeah. Yeah, this is the part where I rely on smarter people to break it down for me. But yes, I think the overall point that I'm trying to make is sacrificing boundaries is a no-no. And shout out to those of you who are in their growth working on that. Are going through the same journey that I am. All right, you know what? Let me just wrap this up. Let me put a bow on this one and say, this concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, I would love to hear your thoughts. Because, a lot of the shit that I say, I would really like to hear some wisdom, share your wisdom. I don't want to hear, hoping to get shared wisdom on this shit. So if you're the DM type, if you're the people who likes to communicate to people via social media, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads using the handle at Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, I'm at shutuppodcast.com. But my preferred way of communication, just go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. There's a little section called Contact with a little pretty box in there. Oh, is this still there? A little pretty chat box that you can message me. Or if you're old school, you could use an email, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Also on the website, there's a link to the RSS feed you could use to subscribe to the podcast, or go to pretty much most of the places that you can find a podcast, including Spotify. Yeah, I'm on Spotify, boys and girls. Yeah, I'm not going to celebrate, but I'm on Spotify. But with all that said, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.